You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 5th of February, 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, I'm very pleased to say today we have with us revisionist historian Carolyn Jaeger to talk to us a little bit about American politics and also what's happening in Germany, I hope. Carolyn, good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
Good afternoon to you, Sven. I'm doing very well. But I think that what we just witnessed here yesterday in this voting in the Iowa primary is very, very instructive for what's happening in our politics and in the United States. So I'm glad I'm glad we're going to get into that.
Yeah, and I just say to our listeners, as at the time of actually recording this, we still haven't found out who won the primary, and I have a suspicion that it's Bernie Sanders. I made a prediction that it was going to be Bernie, and that the mainstream media were going to find some way in which to stitch him up, basically, and it does seem that way. I mean, I believe his supporters may have said they've won. Tell us. I mean, you're closer to what's going on there, Carolyn. Tell us what's been going on in Iowa.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I think what you're saying is what we're going to be seeing a lot of, because I was amazed. I was trying to, because of the program. Well, that we're actually speaking, we have to say, on Tuesday, and so the caucuses were last night, and I stayed up to, I was following it, trying to, and I was so frustrated that nothing happened, and I couldn't believe it when I got up this morning to look at the results, and they still weren't in, and right before we connected here, they still don't have any results that they're reporting. This is amazing. And of course, I was right away attributing it to the fact that the Democrat Party has become a party of non-whites, and the whites who are there give ground to the non-whites so much and promote their causes and so on, and that's what you have. You have, you know, what I call third world. I mean, they can't even run, because this is not the state of Iowa. This is a Democratic Party in Iowa that runs the caucus there, the primary caucus, which is different from a regular voting primary. It's kind of complicated, but it's not that complicated. And every four years, it works out fine. It's the first time this ever happened. So trying to figure out why, but to me, that's, but now this, when I got up this morning and noticed that they still didn't have the results in, I was amazed. I couldn't believe it. So I'm reading about it, and well, it's just a bigger mess than you would expect. And it's all about this app that they were using to get the results better than they ever did before, and it somehow didn't work. And they were like denying in the beginning last night that it was the app. They wouldn't. It was horrible because the campaigns were calling them and wanting to get information what was going on. They were lying to them. I mean, the party headquarters, the party apparatus, who's doing all this, they were lying to their own campaign candidates about what was happening. They wouldn't say, And because I don't think they knew, or they don't know. And then they were giving out that it was the technology. It was some kind of a reporting problem, and they never would explain what the reporting problem was. And now it's people were saying it's the app. It's that app that didn't work. And just, I've got a few quotes here, but I won't bother reading them because I pretty much covered that. So now this morning, when they still have this problem, and they're saying that they're having to go through it all manually, and they can't, look at how long it's taken them to do that. They can't even do that. So then I think that it's the conspiracy. I'm not a conspiracy theory person. I try to resist that, because right away people jump to that, you know, and I don't think you should jump to that right away. But at this point, I think that's going to win out. I mean, no matter what they come up with, and no matter who wins, I think they've really damaged the Iowa Democratic Party. And this could be, I'm considering what you said. This could be that they did this, well, not to stop Bernie Sanders so much, but that's included, but put in disrepute that Iowa is the first primary, because always, you know, the Democrats don't like that, because Iowa is a white state, like 90% white or something like that. And they've always said that this is not the right state to be the first primary because it's not diverse enough and all these things. So they don't like Iowa being first, but the Republicans are good with it. And as Donald Trump tweeted last night, that this was an unmitigated disaster. And I don't know that he said more. I want to read two tweets from Donald Trump. I think maybe both of them came from this morning. The Democrat caucus is an unmitigated disaster. Nothing works, just like they ran the country. Remember the $5 billion Obamacare website that should have cost 2% of that $5 billion? The only person that can claim a big victory in Iowa last night is Trump. This came from Trump. But because Trump won, the Republicans had a primary there too, and he won by 97%. That's funny. He said, it is not the fault of Iowa. It is the do-nothing Democrats' fault. As long as I am president, Iowa will stay where it is. And then important tradition, exclamation point. So he's taking the position of being the party of tradition, that the Republicans are going to hold and keep traditions, the American traditions intact, when the Democrats are the party that wants to throw everything overboard and create a whole new way of system in America, you know, in the United States. And they say that. I mean, people like Bernie and other radical people like that say we need, and even Elizabeth Warren, we need a whole new way of handling things. Even Pete Buttigieg will go along with that. So that's I think going to be a key campaign battle and slogan, and Trump is already setting it out. I think Trump is so smart. He sees right to the heart of what's, you know, the key things, and he expresses them early on. You know, it doesn't take him forever. He's like a leader in that. He's not a follower. He's not waiting for everything to fall out, and then he finally comes along and, you know, repeats it, whatever seems to be the winning position. He takes his position, and he's always right. So that's something that I like about him.
Yeah, he does seem to like to stir the pot. He's not really one for reacting to things. He's one for sort of setting off chain reactions, I think. But I think you may be right there about the diversity, and then putting the diversity forward with the diversity quotas that they have, and that could even have been responsible for the failure of the app. I think it's responsible for a lot of things that we see, like planes crashing and bridges collapsing and all sorts of things, you know, important construction jobs that you think, you know, only white people really should be involved in that. And yet they will still put people with a low average IQ in those positions. And mm-hmm. all these accidents keep happening. And you know, that could very well be what has happened here. I would like to see Bernie win it, just because I would like to see what that would do to the Democratic Party. I mean, he's a full-on communist, and I think that would drive even more people towards Trump. I think it would also drive more white people towards the Republican Party, and the Democrats would become more of a coloured party, basically. That's why I'd like to see Bernie do that. And I do think he's got it. I do think he's got integrity, even if he is a communist. He's always been
you
a
and
communist,
your integrity. You know, what kind of integrity does he have? His integrity is to his belief in communism. That's his integrity. You know, there's no other. He's got lots of money. He's the one who cares enough about being a millionaire to have made, you know, good financial decisions for himself. So there's not like he's being among the people. He's not. So his integrity is that he's, you know, he's a loyal communist. He's loyal to the communist beliefs.
Is he a bit of a hypocrite?
I don't see that
then?
There's anything to praise there.
No, I'm not praising him. I'm just, you know, I
no,
just thought he had some integrity there.
I know you're not praising, but you are in a sense. You're saying, well, he's the only one with integrity. I don't think that's, you know, that's not an integrity that gives him anything to, you know, any bragging rights whatsoever.
Well, I'm just looking in from the outside. So, you know, if you know more about Bernie, let us know more about Bernie. Because, you know, that's what I'm saying.
That.
He just seems a communist.
Not, you know, I'm just saying, this Democrat Party spokeswoman, Mandy McClure, she has no integrity. She's saying that integrity of the results is paramount. And we have to keep, we have to make sure we put out accurate numbers. That's true. They do. And so they're going to, the fact that they still haven't got them out there is less important than that in the end, they can back up that they're accurate and that they haven't put out wrong numbers, which would be really the worst disaster. So, you know, and she's, but other people, and this is not the app. She was quoted, I got something here from her. This is simply a reporting issue. The app did not go down, and this is not a hack or an intrusion. The underlying data and paper trail is sound and will simply take time to further report the results. So what is that? She's saying it's not a problem with the app, and yet people in the caucuses say the app just straight up wasn't working because the app is what's used to download the results, and it wasn't working. Well, I suppose it wasn't working because they turned it off so that the results wouldn't be reported because they knew the results were wrong. And so what they're trying to do now is count up all the results. And I don't know why that's taking so long, but it is. They've got a system there that they didn't. And then I read that the person who put this in was from the Hillary Clinton and Obama campaigns. Huh? So there again shows how the Democrat Party is so linked up with Obama and Hillary, and they're, you know, and they're, as you say, against someone like Bernie, in spite of the fact that they say they don't, you know, they've corrected all of that. But the people that are in there, and they're just not really competent. I think they're so prejudiced. They're not neutral. That might be one of the reasons. But anyway, I think the important story here is not who won, because I don't think anybody's going to take this. The results of this very, you know, without a whole lot of doubt, you know, I don't think it's going to be credible now. It's too late. They've lost their credibility. So the story is, what is going on with the Democrat Party, and are they still rotten to the core? You know, I mean, they haven't really reformed themselves, and what this is going to mean for going forward for the Democrats. I think this has been a tremendous PR failure, trouble for the Democrat Party. And they were doing, on top of the impeachment and all the other, and the Mueller report and all the other junk. I don't know. I want to use the words that come to my mind.
The other failures.
The other failings that they, and lies and so on that they've been carrying on with. And now on top of it, this, the, you know, the big first primary that now here you have these candidates a year in Iowa, you know, working like crazy, spending millions and millions and millions of dollars. And all for a big mess at the end where nobody knows and can take it, you know, can take it as meaningful.
Well, what they're saying now is that it's the phone lines are all jammed up. That was the last excuse that I heard was the app had broken down and then they tried to phone the results in, but the phone lines got all jammed up. There wasn't enough phone lines, basically.
Oh, it's pathetic well, maybe, excuses. But they said people, yeah, because the campaign said they were sitting on the phone for an hour and more, wait, you know, and they couldn't get through. They couldn't talk to anybody, but they thought the other side was hanging up on them and wouldn't talk to them. So the communication was very poor, and a lot of bad stories went out. You know, a lot of bad publicity went out. So yeah, I think it's fascinating. I think it's wonderful. And so Trump, so they're going to be saying, well, we got to get rid of Iowa as the first. Iowa shouldn't be the first primary. And that's just going to feed into the conspiracy idea that that's why they did it. And Trump is saying, we're going to keep Iowa just where it is. And it's their fault. It's not Iowa's fault and so on. So that's.
It's funny that it comes right at the end of, you know, that impeachment farce as well. I mean, they just voted to not have any witnesses and finish that up next week. And of course, Trump's going to be absolved. And the whole thing is just going to have been a completely ridiculous waste of time. Just shows how petty and vindictive the Democrats are with this, you know, this big farce at the end of it as well. This big cock up, this big show of incompetence in Iowa. The last couple of years, I mean, really, I mean, that could be it. That could be the downfall of the Democratic Party. Basically, they just look incompetent. They look like clowns. I mean, maybe I'm biased, but that's how it looks to me over here in Britain.
No, they're clowns. Because of the kind of people that they are building their party out of now. And just goes to show, I think that the bigger overall view is that if you're going to have non-white people running the country, and there's other things I'd like to say about that, then you're going to have what looks like a non-white country. And we know what they look like. So it just doesn't work. There's no way it can work. But they pretend, even the whites all pretend like, oh, it's just the, you know, the United States is this way and Nigeria is that way. But it's not, it's the people.
Well, let's move on to some good news, Carolyn. We got some good news as well, haven't we? You were telling me about the Judensau in Germany, and people have been trying to get that removed or something. I did read about there were court cases, and apparently they decided to keep the Judensau. So do you want to tell us about that and give us a description of what it is the history of it, maybe?
Okay. Pretty much like what you said, you know, this has been running for quite a while. And in Germany, the Jews are able to push through almost everything they want because, of course, Germans, because of their terrible history, must serve the Jews. And so they're trying to get rid of anything that they consider anti-Semitic. And it irritates me so much that they use that term Semitic. When Semitic is not, they're not necessarily just Semitic. It's really anti-Judaism and anti-Jewishness. And they don't want to say that. So they call it anti-Semitic, while at the same time they persecute all the Arabs and all the Semites that they compete with down in the Middle East. But anyway, Judensau was something that was quite common back in medieval times. The image is of a rabbi holding up the back end of a sow, a big sow with great big teats, and two little children, a male and a girl and a boy, suckling, not little pigs, but little children, suckling on the teats of the sow, and also a face, an adult face down there looking out, attached to something that's, I don't know, like somebody laying there. And I didn't read up again on that because in Deutsche Welle, they just want to describe it as a rabbi and other Jewish people underneath a pig with an inscription featuring a gibberish version of Hebrew. You know, see, they want to make out like it's just nonsense. It's just nonsense. Well, okay, so those two little children are supposed to be Jews. And I think it has to do with that the associating the Jews with sows and pigs, you know, and worse than a pig, I mean a big pig, in some way. And that's what they came from or whatever. And they have succeeded in forcing most churches to remove this from their church. And most of them have. A lot of churches had reliefs like this. There's a relief is, you know, a sculpture that is only, flat. It's not a full three-dimensional thing. But this church is Martin Luther's church in Wittenberg, and it was built in, was finished in 1305. So it's a World Heritage Site and all of that. And so, but they wanted to get rid of it, and it didn't look good. But the court, the highest court in Germany, came through and denied, said that because it was a World Heritage Site and it was so old and they didn't want to change anything on it and they would have to live with it, sorry. And that's the final decision, which is good. So that's
it's like a gargoyle, victory. Isn't it? It's like a sort of gargoyle thing. And as you say, there have been quite a few different churches, and it's from the Middle Ages, but it's part of our tradition, it's part of our history. I mean, Martin Luther wrote a book on the Jews and their lies. That was his church. That was, you know, that was put there in honor of him. Okay, the Jews may find it offensive, but it's a part of our history. They shouldn't really have any right to say that we should pull down parts of our history. I mean, surely they could point at it and say, well, look how mean the Germans used to be to the Jews. They used to put this image up there. But they don't. They just say, oh, that must be removed. It's anti-Semitism. And it's just like trying to whitewash history.
It's a crime. I mean, you cannot make it a crime, but that's what they're doing. And that's why it's so evil. They want to make everything that they don't like into a crime. And they have a lot of success with that in Germany because they've convinced all the Germans, and the Germans who are now the leaders of Germany were put in place because they would go along with all of that, the Nuremberg view of World War II and Holocaust and all that stuff. So they all enforce that. But luckily, this church resisted, and there should be more resistance, because if there was more resistance, it would work. But there's very little resistance, which is what I write about. I've still got that same post up on my website, What's Wrong with Germans? President Steinmeier exemplifies it in his lack of resistance to anything that the Jews want. So I think it's just a lucky thing that this, because of the situation of this church. It wasn't put there for Martin Luther. It was put on a lot of churches. You know, it was, I don't know why. I haven't
read up on it lately. Yeah, it's quite common. But Martin Luther was from Wittenberg, and I thought that was something. Is it a Lutheran church or something?
He was the first Lutheran. I mean,
yeah,
he's the one that started Lutheranism. That's why it's named after him. So
you know,
it would be now a Lutheran church. Yeah,
yeah. To demand to change that is...
But in 1305, it wasn't a Lutheran church when it was put on. See, that was these were all Catholic. And this was something that Catholics did. The Catholic Church is very anti-Jewish. And it's all turned around now, unfortunately.
But to make those demands and just say, well, you have to change your history, you have to change your culture to fit in with us, you know, it's a height of arrogance to do that.
And no doubt about it. It has to be resisted. And it's up to the people to resist it. Thank God it was resisted here. So we don't have too much time. So on to the next little thing is that, you know, we talked about the Holocaust Remembrance Day in Birkenau, and with that, on the 23rd of January, 5 days or so before that, there was one that had never occurred before at this time in Jerusalem, put on by some new all Jewish and Israeli Holocaust group called World Holocaust Remembrance Forum. And now it has come out that they've had to apologize. Yad Vashem has had to apologize for including a number of inaccuracies in some films that they showed at that forum, which all these world leaders, bigger name world leaders, attended that one in Israel than any that attended the one in Poland. That's one thing I didn't say last time. They're much, much more important people. We're at the one in Jerusalem. That tells you something. But when I read what these inaccuracies were, according to them, that the whole thing is inaccurate, but according to them, what they were all like in Russia's favor, again, and not in Poland's favor. So, Putin was invited to that forum, and he went there, and he gave a speech. And for that reason, Poland's president, Duda, did not go. He was invited, but he was not invited to give a speech. And since he was not going to be able to answer what Putin was going to say, he thought he declined to go. So there's this, as we've talked about it, this big thing is going on between Russia and Poland, which actually then goes way back in history to Poland's dislike of Russia and Russia's dominance over Poland.
Can you recall any of the particulars that they said that they had got wrong in these videos and video histories?
Yes, I've got them down here. They failed to mention Poland's division between Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union in 1939. So, you know, they say that the Nazis invaded Poland and took over Poland, and they don't mention the Soviets' role in their taking over the other half of Poland and making it Russia. So Poland disappeared. They don't do that. And they didn't, obviously. So, then they say they didn't. Another was, Nazis' conquest of Western Europe a year later. Well, I guess I don't know why they did that. And then they showed incorrect borders of Poland. Well, according to Poland, you know, Poland's got its own version of its borders, and they weren't happy with the way some maps that they used. And they labeled concentration camps as extermination camps, which they shouldn't have done. And, you know, that's, it's known, everybody admits today that they don't call any of the camps that were in Germany proper as extermination camps, because none of them were, but those weren't either. So they called them. They still have all kinds of maps and things that show German camps and call them extermination camps. There's all kinds of false information that has been officially renounced, but it's still circulates out there all the time. So the people who did this seemed like they were pro-Russia, and Israel seems to be siding with Russia and Putin over Poland and Duda. I think you think so. I think that's very clear.
Yeah, but there's also, didn't you dig up some information saying that the Polish prime minister was actually Jewish, and yet Israel is siding with Russia? Is that right?
The prime minister is half Jewish.
Yeah.
His father was Jewish. And polls deny that. You know, polls deny everything. I don't have any respect for Poland because they lie about everything. So I don't, but you know, if I think that they're right about something, I'll say so, because Russia does the same thing. And, you know, none of them are honest, but, what was your question? Do you think Israel's taking the side of?
Yeah, no. I was just pointing out that you dug some information out that showed that the Polish prime minister was half Jewish, and yet mm-hmm. Israel isn't making a big thing about that. They're siding with Putin in Russia. You would think that Israel would be boasting.
Yeah, they're very angry at Poland because because Poland is not going along with the Jewish narrative about all the other countries, Poland
Russia.
And all the other countries around there, and all there that they were anti-Jewish. Poland wants to say they weren't anti-Jewish. They saved Jews, and it's only the Germans who are the bad people here, nobody else. And the Jews know better. And in this case, Israel is right about Poland. And Poland has all kinds of myths and lies about their heroes and so on that aren't true. Poland is terrible about that.
Yeah,
so
I
don't like any of them. it's a hard thing. Accusing liars of lying is what you've got.
Well, I have to say I have a very big appreciation for Slavic folk music, and I'm not too up on their politics anyway, so I'll just have to defer to you as far as their political persuasions, Carolyn. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.